Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks. Today's program is brought to you as a public service by DestinationDelco.com. Just to the east of us, you can find the wonders of historic Delaware County and the Brandywine Valley, and by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car is always worry-free. I'll be right back to introduce my guest, Olga Herbert, Executive Director of the Lincoln Highway Heritage Corridor, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
DestinationDelco.com, a new way to experience Delaware County. From Philly to the Brandywine, we have the Crossroads, Riverside, Main Streets, Main Line, and the Brandywine. Five different ways to experience Delaware County. Check us out at DestinationDelco.com. Be sure to listen to Bedford County Speaks, brought to you by DestinationDelco.com. Saturdays at 8:30 a.m., just before Rush on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Sometime back, they did a survey and they found that lots of people who lived within a few miles of the Liberty Bell or the Statue of Liberty never visited either place. That happens around here too. Just after the start of the French and Indian War, Bedford County became the gateway to the West with the opening of the Forbes Road, which we now call Route 30. In 1794, President George Washington had to come here to quell the Whiskey Rebellion. By 1913, the first transcontinental road for motor cars, the Lincoln Highway, was dedicated here, and the legendary Bedford Springs Resort still welcomes people from all over the world. With this kind of legacy, why keep it a secret? Spread the word about Bedford County, the history, the charm, and the regal Alleghenies. Bedford County, America's open door to the West.
Have you ever gone to Everett on the Route 30, formerly Lincoln Highway, and seen that great big quarter in front of the golf course? Or have you ever gone over the mountain toward McConnellsburg and seen all these cool little monuments and things? Or if you go to Bedford, you go down the Pitt Street to the west, and there is a rebuilt coffee pot. These are all part of what is known as programmatic architecture, and they all were built for one reason: decorate and promote the Lincoln Highway. And I have with me a Lincoln Highway expert. Olga Herbert is Executive Director of the Lincoln Highway Heritage Corridor, and she has been very gracious to get in her car on a rainy day and drive 200 miles or so, well, not 200 miles, but 100 miles anyway, to see us here in Bedford. So, Olga, I want to thank you so much for taking the time and the tremendous effort to do this.
Well, thank you, Lloyd. I'm glad to be here.
This subject has always been of interest to me because when I was a kid, I grew up in a community. One of the communities I grew up in was in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, which is on Lancaster Pike, which is on the Lincoln Highway. And everybody knew about the Lincoln Highway there. In fact, in that part of the world, it's called the Philadelphia Main Line. And the main line is, in fact, parallel. The main line of the railroad is parallel to the Route 30 corridor or the Lincoln Highway corridor. So this road has always been an incredible fascination to me. I would like you to give us now, if you wouldn't mind, a history of how this whole thing started.
Okay, it was the one road that changed America forever. Two fellas, president of the Packard Motor Company and the president of the automobile headlight, Fisher Scientific, and the founder of the Indianapolis Speedway, and the founder of Miami Beach. They're all in Detroit having a dinner party. They had their awesome cars, but they looked at each other. There's nowhere to drive them. We don't have any good roads. And one looked at the other and said, let's build it before it's too late. Let's build a road across America. And so it's not like they started paving in New York and just kept coming until they got to San Francisco. For the most part, they were piecing together existing roads that were there. And so much of the corridor that I work in, which is from North Huntington in the west to beyond Gettysburg in the east, it's six counties, much of it was the Forbes Road, remnants of the Forbes Road, parts of it in the east were the Lancaster Pike. And then more people started having cars. They were more affordable. And they could leave behind the strict schedules of a train station or and only go where the train would go or where a stagecoach would go. And now they had all this freedom. And people that were real entrepreneurs, they were in their heyday. It's like, what could we do to get people to pull into my business? And so it started off maybe if they were at the top of one of the summits in Pennsylvania, maybe they were giving water to start off. And it's like, man, we're giving out a lot of water. Maybe we should start having a little restaurant. What? How about tourist cabins? And so all of this just sort of snowballed into what I say it really launched tourism, not just in Pennsylvania or in our area, but all over. It now spawned the industries of gas, food, lodging, postcards, and, of course, the automobile. And we're so fortunate to have Bedford County in our corridor because it has some of the most unique examples of programmatic architecture like you were talking about.
You know what makes this fascinating to me is I've read books about Carnegie and Flagler, these people you're mentioning, and this couldn't happen today. This started out as a private enterprise.
Right.
And
right.
If we wanted a road today, the first thing we do is call our congressman and demand a road. And that's not the way they did it, was it?
No. This was before there was a Federal Highway Administration. It was certainly before a PennDOT, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And so while their goal was a little lofty, I mean, they thought they could pave the entire United States with $10 million. That they came up short on that, but they tried to inspire communities along the route. Sometimes they would give them 1 mile. It's like, okay, we'll pave 1 mile, and they would call that a seedling mile.
I see.
Get them excited about that, and then they'll want to continue it. So it took at least 10 years to really finish the whole route. And when I drive, of course, I'm on the Lincoln Highway today coming here, and I always think, now, what would it have been like if I'm in, you know, a 1925 vehicle,
yeah,
chugging up and down, round and round, you know? But we have a lot of motorcycles. Matter of fact, our corridor was named one of the top 10 motorcycle routes in northeastern United States. They love that rise and fall and the dips and...
You know, I'm just fascinated hearing you talk about this because the Lincoln Highway, and I've lived all over the United States, is quite unique to this country. I mean, there are highways, obviously, that go across the country. You know, Route 80 goes all the way across the country. Mm-hmm. But it's not like this. And it's because, as you say, it was put together like a quilt. It was a patchwork thing. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. When they did these seedling paved highways, I've seen photographs of the early part of the 20th century where Model T automobiles and cars like them would drive down roads that had about 4.5 inches of mud, and they called that a road. So can you imagine what it must have been like to go from that to a paved road with macadam on it, where the car could go effortlessly? So if they built a 1 mile seedling highway, were the towns and communities encouraged to make it 2 miles or three
miles?
They were. Because it was a way to show them how it could work.
Exactly. And we have some wonderful records in our archives back at our office in Latrobe where two communities would fight over, you know, politics was big then too, you know, where's it going?
Right.
And so in our area, Latrobe said, no, we want it. And yet this little town of Youngstown said, no, we want the Lincoln Highway because they knew wherever the highway go, that would be the commercial district. That's where the economic development would occur. And how ironic that the highway does, Lincoln Highway does go through this little community of Youngstown. But right now, it's Route 30 is what was developed. Mm-hmm. And that's the commercial strip through our area. So it's...
Well, one of the other things that's so fascinating to me is the programmatic art, I have to try to say that, was really almost exaggerated in the ship motel and restaurant or hotel and restaurant that was on that mountain between Somerset County and Bedford. And I guess that was around until maybe the 1960s or 70s when it was finally, you know, fell apart of neglect. But during its heyday, people came from all over the country to go to that. And they had to do it on the Lincoln Highway. It's the only way you could see it. But this guy, another private entrepreneur, built this phenomenal building on the side of a mountain so you could see forever.
I know.
And we don't do this stuff anymore.
And especially when you come around that corner, it's like, whoa, where'd that come from? You know, a good friend of mine met her husband at Georgetown in D.C., and he was bringing her home to meet his parents, and they came around the corner, and she said, oh, my goodness, a ship hotel on the side of a mountain. And then in jest, of course, he said, well, you've heard of the Johnstown flood, didn't you? You know?
and she
said, what?
Yeah, right. That's the interesting connection. Our guest is Olga Herbert. Olga is the executive director of the Lincoln Highway Heritage Corridor, and she's been very gracious to visit us here in Bedford to talk about this phenomenal historic artifact. This is a very interesting museum that you run because your museum is 200 miles long. And I had lunch, I don't know because I'm not familiar with the area well enough yet, but it was near Dupstadt's store in a restaurant, I think called the Lincoln Cafe.
Yeah.
And that cafe was renovated with some of your grant money, was it not?
No, actually, our grants that we award, and this is the funding originates with the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, but the funding grants are only awarded to municipalities and nonprofit organizations. But I think when we have developed the Lincoln Highway Heritage Corridor, more businesses, especially new ones, are adopting the Lincoln name in their business. I mean, I think they get it. They see that this is a tourism route. And so I think when this gal in Buckstown opened up the Lincoln Cafe,
that was called Buckstown? Okay.
She decided, you know, let's call it Lincoln Cafe.
Well, it's just an extension of the same entrepreneurial spirit that these guys had back in 1913. I mean, there's this highway. Cars go down it during the summertime or when it's warm. And you come through all these charming little cool places. And there are no McDonald's, no Burger Kings. This is the real deal. And you come upon this place called the Lincoln Cafe. So they have extended your idea.
Sure.
And when you get inside, you see photographs of what that place looked like in the 1900s and 19-teens. And that's just worth going to lunch just to see that.
I know. We have, and it's our communities along the corridor that make it so interesting, you know, and if you're on the turnpike, you don't get to experience any of that. You know?
We're going to learn more about the Lincoln Highway and how it grew over all these years when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. All the way back to Ben Franklin, Americans have known that well-informed decisions save grief, time, and money. At Thomas, we believe it's our job to share everything we know to help you be well-informed about your transportation choices. You're going to save some grief by learning about prudent financing that works in your favor, not ours. You're going to save time with our Real Cash for Your Car policy that accurately determines your trade-in value. And you're going to save money with our upfront and transparent pricing. What's in it for us is more completely satisfied customers who return for their next car and refer their friends to us. Learn about all of our Thomas 7 Steps to Savings by visiting Thomas Subaru in Bedford now during the Subaru Share the Love event. You'll get a great car. Subaru will donate $250 to selected charities. And best of all, you'll be making a well-informed decision. We think Ben Franklin will be pleased. Thomas Subaru in Bedford, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years.
This is Kurt Morris of the Bedford County Commissioners, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
We are back in Bedford, and we are, I don't know, 30, maybe 40 feet from the original Lincoln Highway, which we call Pitt Street in downtown Bedford. I want to go back to the history for just a minute, Olga, about the construction of this highway. You said that the founders, or the people that invented this thing, pieced together existing roads. But the intention was for the highway to go across the entire United States of America. Mm-hmm. I guess they started in Times Square because it's in New York City and that's a place to start. I know that Lincoln Highway, because of things I've read about you on your website and so forth, extended out of New York what is presently Route 1. And for years, I used to go through portions of Bucks County up there, and they had a restaurant was some programmatic art that I didn't know. This airplane, they had a Super G Constellation aircraft with huge four-engine piston engines on this enormous highway, mounted on stilts right on the road. Now, this was part of this architecture we're talking about,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
And, you know, boy, and they tore it down. It's no longer there. But what a cool thing that would have been to keep around. You know?
Exactly. It's another reason, and it's I think it's the greatest hook we have for the Lincoln Highway, you know, in addition to our historic communities and the small-town nature of the corridor. When I was trying to think of a project to do with high school students along our corridor, and I thought, you know, that's a great way to talk about the coffee pot, to talk about some of these, especially when, you know, McDonald's is using terms like supersized, you know, supersize mm-hmm. my meal. And
right.
it's like, so I thought, well, that would be a good connection for them. Mm-hmm. And so what you and I know is Votech schools, today they're called Career and Technology Centers, but five of our career and technology schools along our 200-mile corridor, the students made these fantastic roadside giants, much like the airplane you're talking about right. or the coffee pot. So the one in Bedford is the giant quarter that is a 25-cent piece that right. measures 12 feet in diameter, and it's in front of Downriver Golf.
And there's another one, I think, in York County. It's a big shoe or something?
Well, no, that one wasn't a project of the students. That's been there probably since the 30s.
So that's
it's called the Shoe House.
That's an old one. And
that's
was
an
also
old one.
The same thing.
The same thing, exactly. Yep. Yep,
and
that one, they have new owners, and it's open every day. It's a bakery now.
Yeah.
So they've been repurposed a little
right.
bit through the years, but it's nice that they're still open and people are still caring for them.
Do you know anything about the Lincoln Highway to our west? I mean, do they have this kind of architecture in the west, in the Midwest? I mean, is there any cowboy stuff, for example, that
you
goes
know,
through the western states?
It's interesting. My youngest son went to school in Flagstaff to mm-hmm. in college,
right.
and so when I had gone out there to visit him the first time, he said, I have something. You'll think you're on the Lincoln Highway. And it was a giant hot dog building
right.
where you could go drive through it and order your hot dog. And I said, well, this isn't the Lincoln Highway in Flagstaff, but it was Route 66.
Uh-huh.
So Route 66 has a lot of the same
right.
kind of quirky architecture, giant sombrero motels and, you know, things like that.
So, but the idea behind all of this for these business owners was to attract people off the road into their business.
Exactly.
That was the whole idea, the reason
right.
they did
so
it.
The programmatic architecture, the Burma Shave signs weren't far behind, you
right.
know.
So. Our guest is Olga Herbert. She is the director of the Lincoln Highway Heritage Corridor. And this has all been fun, but you need money to do all this. So some years ago, I understand, you got some grants from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that and how that worked.
Okay. We are one of 12 designated heritage areas in the Commonwealth, and each one is designated by the governor, and it's through a long planning process. There's a feasibility study and a management action plan, and then the boundaries are determined. And we receive money from the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, not every year, but most years we do, and then this money is restricted, and we can only re-grant it. And, of course, we can only give away what they give us. And things
right.
have been pretty tight since 2007 and 8. So in Bedford County, we put notices in the newspaper when this grant rounds come up. And we also provide technical assistance. Because the grants are not that large anymore, the application has also been streamlined. It should not take anybody more than 25 minutes to do this grant application.
Huh, boy, that's a great grant application.
Well,
I've done a few of those.
I know.
It looks like Obamacare sometimes.
I know. So it's matching funds are required.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're coming in for $5,000, you need $5,000 cash
right.
match. And we fund a lot. It's a wide variety of projects. It could be something to do with nature. It could be something to do with heritage or history, recreation, preservation, all those things.
Gotcha.
So I'm looking here at the list. I brought with me some of the projects that we have funded. We funded about $215,000 in specific projects in Bedford County. And, of course, the coffee pot.
Yeah.
It was our organization that saved the coffee pot from demolition. And then we relocated about a quarter of a mile away.
That would have been a terrible loss if they lost
it. Really
that,
would have
that,
been.
That's really, I mean, we even use it as a logo on our company here
yeah.
for Bedford County
yeah.
Speaks. I mean, it's just a great, great thing.
And So after we moved it, we put it on the National Register to try to preserve it for future generations. Sure. The Pike to Bike Trail, which is a hot, still a hot topic here in Bedford County, we funded a early study on that probably about 10 years ago, and then a smaller grant to the Bedford County Commissioners to for the economic impact study that they finished about a year ago. But things like recreation, too.
I just want to take you back for that second. The Pike to Bike is certainly not the Lincoln Highway, but it's damn near as iconic. I mean, here we have the first superhighway in the United States of America, and we have a nine-mile piece of it that's also a museum, like your Lincoln Highway is.
Yeah.
And it literally, physically connects to the Lincoln Highway at the end of this abandoned highway. So how cool can that be?
It's
and
very
it's
cool.
It's just within a few inches of Breezewood, who is actively involved in your organization now. And I know the Bittners are very, very involved in getting that Pike to Bike thing going. So I think it's terrific what you're doing with
and
all
And what's
this.
Interesting with the Pike to Bike, a lot of trails, and I know we have hundreds and probably thousands of miles of trails in Pennsylvania, and not to be smart about it, but you could be dropped from a helicopter and you really wouldn't know what trail you're on or where you are, whether it's in Pennsylvania or in another state. You come out of the sky and land on the Pike to Bike. That's unique. I mean,
it is.
Not everybody has these two tunnels.
I know of none.
And that's what I mean.
Yeah, there
and so
are
I
none.
Think that's what makes it special.
I mean, who would give up a four-lane highway that's 10 miles long?
Right. And even though it's not open, people are still, you know, I go by all the time and
I
see vehicles.
I can't wait to get that thing going. It would just be so exciting.
So that's a cool one.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of recreation in Everett. They have, we've provided some signage for them on their little trail.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about the signs. I've seen the signs, the Lincoln Highway with the big L and the drawing of Lincoln. Is that you that does the signs?
Yes.
Okay.
And each state, you know, we talked earlier about the highway going across the whole country. Each state handles signage in a different way. There's not anything that is coordinated. Some states pay for all of that themselves. In Pennsylvania, we paid for the engineering study. We paid for the sign design and the fabrication and the installation. So when a sign goes down, it's really helpful if someone calls our office and say, hey, we just lost one, you know, car went off the road in a snowstorm. So we can, the next spring, get back on it. So we also need to paint the poles. That's one of our big projects for the spring. We want the corridor to really look spiffy with this conference coming to Pennsylvania.
When I was in Indiana, they had a big L on a telephone pole on some of the roads. That was actually the way it
was
marked.
Kind of, originally, it was.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then we have in 1928, which really blows my mind, they had cement markers that were placed every mile from New York City to San Francisco.
Whoa! What happened to those?
There aren't too many around. There's one in Everett. When you're going in, it'll be on your left-hand side. There's also one not quite across from Jean Benet Tavern, but up a little bit. There's one there. And so both of those are a little shorter, maybe the ground's sinking or whatever, but they're about 3 feet high.
And they're original. They're original
from 1928, yeah. So Pennsylvania, we should have, I think we're 330 miles wide or something. So we should have about that many. In reality, we have about 20 left across the whole state.
So through all this road construction that's happened over the years, they probably threw them in the back of a truck and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so.
Well, the whole subject of this highway is interesting to me because I've always liked history. And to stretch history out over all these miles when it's about, the history is about, what, 30 or 40 feet wide? And the things alongside of the road make it so interesting. Is there a favorite spot on your 200 miles that you like?
It's really, there is a favorite spot, and it is when I'm leaving Bedford, and it's near, there's a sign on the Lincoln Highway, I think it's called Living Waters, maybe it's a campground or something, on the left.
Okay.
On the south side of the Lincoln Highway, and that view is just so peaceful and serene. I mean, you're just looking out over the mountains, the rolling hills. You're coming up on the Bison Corral. that is right there.
Yes.
And then we have a mural there.
Now, is that your mural that you put on that barn?
We have 11 murals along the Lincoln Highway.
Boy.
And, you know, with any public art, they start, you know, in our winters and summers, we got hot, hot summers and frigid winters, and they start to play havoc with them. So we, our board, we decided, we tried to find funding to restore all of them. It gets complicated because when we finished the project about 12 years ago, they're sealed with an anti-graffiti material.
Right.
So it's not just a matter of, oh, we'll just go in and touch it up. I mean, now you're peeling all that off, and then you're punching. So it's I think we're going to let it go like the mail pouch tobaccos.
So it's more to it than we realize. That is one of the reasons I've enjoyed having you. We just have a few minutes left, so now is the big opportunity here to talk about how we can get more money for you. Can you actually contribute to this organization?
Yes, we're a
501c3.
The big project we have now, we restored a 1938 diner, and it's a diner that was on the Lincoln Highway in Westmoreland County. We restored a tourist cabin and a filling station, and we... Our big push now for our campaign for fundraising is to erect a building that will connect with our museum, and that these artifacts can be inside in a temperature-controlled environment, and it will become part of the museum experience. And the best part of all, we'll be serving pine coffee to all the visitors when they come in.
And so this is a way... This is a project for which you need donations.
It is.
And are there any special funds they can contribute to? Is there like a Lincoln Highway fund, or how's that work?
Well, you can, you know, we certainly accept checks in the mail. We also have a website. It's lhhc.org. And there's a tab called Bring the Diner Home.
Oh,
and like I said, it's been restored. We're sort of doing it backwards, where we have everything that goes in the diner done. We just don't have the building. And you could go to the website, or you could send a check to Lincoln Highway Heritage Corridor at 3435 State Route 30 East in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, 15650.
Okay, and we'll repeat that website. It's lhhc.org.
That's correct.
In our digital world today, that's the easiest way to find all this, because I know all of that stuff is on your website.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for this. This is absolutely super. And before we leave, though, I have to ask you, is there any pie-in-the-sky project that you want to do, say, in the next 5 to 10 years?
Just remember, I'm 68 years old. So 5 to 10
so
years,
what?
I don't know.
Hey,
I don't know.
You're a young girl. Compared to me, you're a young chick. So don't say that. But
I'd love to get this building done. And we just...
You're a building where you are.
Yes, where
we
are.
But it was done. It looked pretty
well,
done to me.
Well, that building's done. That building's 200 years old. But this addition,
so that we can
bring these large...
Gotcha.
Artifacts into the site, and that becomes part of the museum experience. And I think it'll be great. We have the museum is not just about Latrobe. I want to make that clear. It's about the whole corridor.
Right.
We have one room that's pretty much dedicated to the Ship Hotel and the Coffee Pot and some of these other roadside giant projects that we've done. Kevin Kutz is a wonderful supporter, he was the first Lincoln Highway fan I met. So he has great artwork, and we're fortunate to have a lot of his paintings in the museum.
I also want to remind you that Bedford County Chamber of Commerce proudly supports and celebrates the business community of Bedford County region. To learn more, visit them online at bedfordcountychamber.com. I want to thank our guest, Olga Herbert, who has been totally gracious and fun on this little rainy day. We've been recording this today, but I want to thank you again for coming, and I hope I can do this again with you.
Well, very good. Thank you. You're welcome.
Bedford County Speaks was brought to you today by DestinationDelco.com and by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru. For buying a car is always worry-free. If you'd like to hear today's program again, just visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com. I look forward to joining you next time right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, have a great weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday beginning at 8:30 to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.